Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined today by an incredible artist, the director Jared Mazzacci, who's joining us to talk about TheaterWorks Hartford's presentation of Sandra. It's playing May 30th through June 23rd at TheaterWorks Hartford, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting twhartford.org. This is yet another fantastic production that's taking place at this great theater company, but it's also an amazing show. Longtime audience members, you will remember that we had the privilege of seeing this work when it was here in New York at the Vineyard Theater. So we're so excited to see that it continues to grow its legs and be done elsewhere. And we're excited about this particular production. So let's bring on the expert who can speak more to it for us. Let's welcome the director, Jared. Jared, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's such an honor to get to talk with you. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us about this great work, Sandra. It is a fabulous show. Why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about what the play is about?
Yeah, so the play, in short, follows one character, Sandra, through a search for her missing best friend, Ethan, who goes missing in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And the play exists between New York City and Puerto Vallarta as she is going back and forth and gets tangled in quite an adventure. I won't spoil too much of that, but she gets tangled in an adventure and is really not only on a journey of finding her lost best friend, but also herself. And it's a very, you know, coming of age, sort of like self-discovery journey for her to rediscover and redefine who she is moving through the world.
That is a fabulous synopsis of this great play. It's such a gripping, gripping piece. I love this work. So how did you come up on it?
Yeah, well, Rob sent it to me, the artistic director here at TheaterWorks Hartford, and said, have a read of it. And, you know, as much as it leaps off the stage, it also leaps off the page. I read it from start to finish and just was, you know, just captivated by the cinematic language of the piece. Being a multimedia director, I'm always compelled by stuff that has an extreme visual language to it. And David Kale's text is so visual as we're jumping between locations, not just of what the locations are, but also how this character feels inside each of these locations, because it really does become a psychological thriller. So reading it and then talking to Rob, you know, we both got really just inspired by what is possible with this play on a visual language as much as a performative language. So that was about a year and a half ago. And then ever since then, it's just been, you know, an amazing journey here with TheaterWorks as we've developed the piece.
So wonderful to hear. So we are just under 7 days at the time of recording from the performance's beginning. What has it been like developing this and putting it up on the stage?
Totally. Yeah. So this piece, the way that we are creating it and developing it is almost like a film and a singular person on stage. We have four projection surfaces that surround Sandra on the floor, on the ceiling, and two walls in the back. And really from the beginning all the way through the end, we are telling this story both visually and textually. And so as a result of that, we've needed to really reimagine our process. We've had 2 weeks in the rehearsal room, but TheaterWorks has actually granted us an incredible opportunity to be on stage a week early. So we've been working through the piece for the last week, and, you know, technically we start tech rehearsal tomorrow, but we've gotten a several day head start to that so that we can really take it beat by beat through the piece and say, you know, where are we? What's our point of view? And what is the visual language to it? And TheaterWorks Hartford also sent me to Puerto Vallarta to film. And we actually captured thousands of video clips and pictures of the locations that this piece exists in. So it has really been in tandem with the creative team, not just about, you know, not just the typical journey of let's start at the table, talk about the script, stage it, and then put it into tech rehearsal. We've actually been in a much more intimate conversation with our design team to just make sure that, you know, in a way it's like multiple characters are performing with Sandra as well, because everything needs to follow and track along with her psychological space. So we've been 3 days in tech rehearsal right now. You know, we're about halfway through the show and feeling really excited by the sound and video landscape in which Felicia, our actress, is performing within. I would also add that the additional part of this is really making sure Felicia's a part of those creative conversations, because she's, as I keep saying, she's like our maestro, she's our conductor with the orchestra. And so she doesn't believe in the things that are surrounding her from sound and video, it's not going to work. So we need to make sure that everyone is in step with one another. And that requires a different type of rehearsal room, you know, in a lot of ways.
That is all amazing. I love the in-depthness that you're putting in to creating the work, getting to go to Puerto Vallarta and get those pictures. That's so wonderful. And what a great development process for this work. This is also amazing. So
totally.
With this piece, with its very complicated story, if you will, this, I mean, it's relatable, but it's complicated. I mean, searching for someone in another country, that's incredible. What is the message or thought you hope audiences take away from this production?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is a story about someone losing their best friend, and their best friend believed that they should be a better version of themselves that they themselves never were. And it takes losing that person for our protagonist to develop that sense of self. And I just think it's an amazing story that explores, when you lose a part of yourself, how do you regain that in new ways? And who do you become in those moments of tragedy met with adventure? And so, you know, I think as audiences leave this, the piece really asks a hard question of, like, the version of yourself that you traverse the world at times is very suppressed because you want to just be in a survival mode. And what does it take to shake yourself from that? What does it take to actually take that leap to become the best version of yourself? And who do you leave behind? Who do you gain? Who do you want to be surrounded by in order to be that? And I think this piece really examines all of that from a really complicated point of view of Sandra being in a life that she herself is not happy in. And the only person who believes in a better version of that is her best friend who goes missing. So now she has to take it upon herself to become the thing that her missing loved one believed her to be. What will that take? And what will that take in us to be those things? And what do we need to shake off and shake the dust off of us and cobwebs off of us to become that version of ourselves? And what sort of effort does that take, you know, and what kind of risk does that take? Because that does mean you leave things and people behind in gaining a part of yourself. And this is, it's a complicated story. I mean, it is abstracted in many ways, but it's super relatable, you know, as film noir genre often is. It's like, it's higher stakes than our reality, but it's actually reflecting our reality in a very clear way. And I feel like the more I watch Felicia perform this, and the more we're watching runs, the more I'm thinking about parts of myself that have nothing to do with Mexico or traveling or even losing someone. And so I hope that audiences, as they leave here, are asking those hard questions of, like, when I believe in myself to the extent that I should, what do I need to do to become that?
I love that. That is a brilliant idea. And now that leads to my final question from this first part, which is, who do you hope have access to Sandra?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's both a content audience that is really interested in this type of work, a one-person show performing multiple characters, you know, and really traversing a lot of different locations to tell an adventure story. And, you know, and I think it is a piece for everyone. It really doesn't feel exclusive to anybody's point of view. The additional side of it is just the people who are interested in how technological advancement is happening in theater right now. And this is a really complicated technological piece that TheaterWorks has resourced and surrounded us to really research and develop. So I'm also interested in those people who are intrigued by the use of technology inside theatrical space. We're really trying to make sure that the story is foregrounded, not distracting, which takes meticulous attention to every word to make sure that the thing is breathing in the same way that our main character is. I'm thrilled to invite in those kind of techno files, people who really love that kind of stuff, because I think we're doing it differently. And I think that too is exciting and could invite a younger generation into the into the theater as well that might be interested in that type of work.
Second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I would love to start by asking you our regular first question, which is what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past or are just some of your favorites?
Yeah, you know, I think right now I'm really compelled by Lucas Nath's work, Dana H, and I Love You So Much I Could Die. You know, I had the privilege of finally getting a chance to meet him a few weeks ago and tell him how inspiring it is to see him work. And it's really less about the content and more about just an artist who is really thinking differently and asking audiences to digest theater differently. And people, playwrights slash directors like Lucas are really inspiring to me right now. I also am always compelled by Rachel Chavkin, who's a good friend of mine, and seeing her work in Great Comet, to Hadestown, to Limpica. She's also as well pushing the envelope of form and what theater should and can be telling. And so I think those are the types of artists that inspire me, are the ones that aren't just making great theater, but are actually on the outskirts of theater making and asking hard questions that are really challenging the intake of theater in our audiences. So, you know, those are the two that really inspire me right now and have been for a while and continue to challenge me as I'm sitting in those audiences watching their work, you know.
I love that list. That's such a great list. Well, let me ask you, what's your favorite part about working in the theater?
It's like my biggest joy and my biggest anxiety, which is like trying out new things. And I think that theater is a really hard format to be telling stories in because there is really nothing that is consistent. And the making of theater is about the embrace of inconsistencies and finding a balance between liveness and rhythm, and how do you make something as live as theater is feel like a consistent thing? And that question for me is always an engaging question and will never get old. And, you know, I went to school for film and theater, and I just wasn't as compelled by film because for as much as a control freak as maybe I was in undergrad, and getting a final cut that was something I could press play and it be the same every time, there was a joy to watching a thing develop over the course of several performances and watch how audiences change a thing. And I just think there's something so beautiful and so terrifying about that. And I feel like it's that balance that makes me feel the most mortal in the world. And I think that that's what makes theater feel the most inspiring format to be telling stories in, because I just want to be walking through the world and trying to be as present and as human as possible. And it's harder the older you get with schedules, and it's harder the older you get with technology in your back pocket. Theater is the only place that rips me from that and makes me sit in a space and be 100% present. And I don't know, there's something about that that will never get old because it's always different. You kind of can't get bored with that, and it's constantly making you feel off balance. And so you're, you know, in the same way that when you're standing on a train and you're not holding on to anything and it starts and stops and you don't want to fall, that's a thrill when you get through to your train stop and can exit. And so I don't know, that I know that's like very abstract and esoteric, but that's the thing that drives me with theater, and specifically multimedia theater, because I like forcing film to have to embrace liveness. And there are tricks to that, to making the clips that you're projecting into the space feel like it is listening and responding to the actors on stage. And that is the conversation of something that is inherently immortal, film, in dialogue with something that is inherently mortal, theater, in a way that I am always saying, how does theater win in that battle at all times? And that's a question that you can never actually fully answer. Every show challenges that in new ways. So that's, that's why I love it. That's why I'm drawn to it. That's why I continue to be drawn to it forever.
That's such a wonderful answer. I love it. And it's a good lead into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
My favorite memory is my first memory, which is I was in The Little Prince. I was 11 years old in a small barn in New Hampshire at a theater called Andy Summer Playhouse, which now I'm the artistic director of because I just love that place so much. It's just summer seasons. I was 11. I was in The Little Prince. I played Prince number 3 and Grown Up number 49. And I remember at the end standing behind a scrim with the rest of the ensemble as our main actor who played the Little Prince number 1 was being lowered into the raked stage in front of us. And we all were singing a four-part harmony of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And it was like 8-year-olds to 18-year-olds singing. And I remember opening night looking through the scrim and seeing my family in the audience, in a sold out audience of like 100 seats in this barn. And I just remember I couldn't sing. I started convulsing. I was sobbing. And I remember going backstage and everyone surrounding me being like, what is going on? And they called my parents back in. And I remember everyone's like, is everything okay? Is everything okay? And I was like, no, everything, I'm happy. I was like, there's nothing wrong. I've never felt this thing. I get emotional thinking about that. It's decades ago where that existed, but and that hits me, in as many shows as I can find the sacred nervous system inside of it and stand in the back of the theater as a director now and see the light hitting the crowns of everybody's head. And I'm thrust back into that memory. So that's not so much seeing a piece of theater in New York or something that rivets me, which I have plenty of that on that list, but that's like my favorite memory. And I hope every child gets an opportunity to experience happiness at the level of like sobbing, It changed me, And I think a more current answer is, I saw Stereophonic at Playwrights and was completely blown away by it. And Dana H, those two, I think in the last couple of years have been moments where my jaw is just on the floor and I'm like, I'm watching something that I hadn't considered could be a thing. And I feel very special being in this room, watching a form challenge itself and therefore challenge me to think differently about the thing I invest my every day in, And Stereophonic is, it's like a, 3-hour Tiny Desk concert at NPR, and you're like able to experience it from the other side of the stage, watching the sound stage. And Dana H was like coming out of the pandemic, I was like, holy crap, this is a radio play with a body disrupting it in front of me. And like watching that body live in the recorded moment, I was just like, God damn, this is. Both of those things were just, I remember being very present in the moment saying, I'm watching something that I know is impacting me in the future. And those are two current things that feel similar to when I was 11.
Wow. Wow, what great memories there. Thank you so much for sharing those with us. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Well, funnily enough, you bring up Red Hook. I'm doing a site-specific piece at Sonny's Bar in Red Hook, Brooklyn, with playwright Sarah Ganscher through On Guard Arts and Vineyard Theater this upcoming fall. So it's called The Wind and the Rain, the story of Sonny's. And I want to make sure, we just changed the title. It's called The Wind and the Rain, a story about Sonny's Bar. And for those who know the bar, it's one of the oldest bars in Brooklyn, and it's got an incredible story. And so we're doing a performance that's on the waterfront museum on a barge across the street, and then the audience walks into the bar at Sonny's for sort of an act two installation experience as well. So that's upcoming. And then, you know, a bunch in the hopper. I'm doing a lot of workshops these days to try and develop new ways of telling theater, you know, with technology and, you know, and in new ways. So site specific multimedia work is kind of the name of my game for what I'm interested in right now. But yeah.
That sounds incredible. Oh, I'm gonna have to check this out. This sounds amazing. Kudos to you. And it leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Sandra or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Yeah, out to me. Just my website is jaredmazzacchi.com. Not only all my work is on there, but also all the works in development that I'm working on right now, if they're interested. And there's a contact me on there that you can just send an email to. I'm always excited to hear from people and answer any questions they have, for sure.
Wonderful. Well, Jared, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak with me today about this amazing show happening at this incredible theater company. This has been an absolute joy. I really appreciate your time. So thank you so much.
Absolutely, Andrew. Thank you so much. And for all those people who are interested in coming, I'm excited for you to be a part of the experiment of making new work with multimedia and technology. And, you know, it's an amazing thing that TheaterWorks Hartford is really pushing the envelope with how to tell stories. And the feedback is exciting because we're trying to develop new ways of communicating theater. So, you know, we're doing what we think is our best step forward, and I'm thrilled by it and beginning of a much larger journey in theater that I hope people are excited to be a part of. So, yeah.
Amazing. My guest today has been the incredible director, Jared Mazzacchi, who is part of TheaterWorks Hartford's presentation of Sandra. It's playing May 30th through June 23rd at TheaterWorks Hartford, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting twhartford.org. We also have some contact information for Jared, which will be posted on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But right now, head to twhartford.org, get your tickets. If you need a reason to get out of the city and head up to some cooler weather, some fabulous scenery up there in Connecticut, make sure you just get up there now between May 30th and June 23rd and check out this brilliant production, Sandra. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.